It's not snowing hard here. Maybe it is where you are. But the real story now is the cold weather that is coming. Maybe the kind of days that you want to curl up to a good book. The couple of books that have really fascinated me, one was called The Feather Thief, one was called The Orchid Thief. You don't know much about feathers or orchids, but you read these books and you discover it's a fascinating world. And even if it's not your cup of tea, it's fascinating that people are fascinated by it. And then the characters that you meet along the way really draw you in. So then, in a way, it's not so much about orchids or feathers. It's about these people. The intrigue is all. But I'll tell you, learning about orchids and feathers is a thing. So in that genre, if you will, there's another book that you might want to curl up with. And the author is in our studio. Josh Hammer's here, and his book isn't about orchids getting stolen or feathers getting stolen. It is about what getting stolen?
Falcons. Well, falcon eggs, to be precise.
Yeah, just to make it even weirder still, it's about falcon eggs. There's a market for falcon eggs out there?
There's a market for falcon eggs out there, yeah. It's mostly in the Persian Gulf, mostly in the Persian Gulf. The United Arab Emirates are the biggest player. Wealthy sheikhs love falconing, and they love falcon racing. And they want to get their hands on the best, fastest, strongest falcons in the world.
Your book is called The Falcon Thief, and it begins with a guy getting arrested at an airport, right?
That's correct.
Tell me that story.
Okay, he's on his way to Dubai. He's in a Birmingham airport, Birmingham, UK, Emirates Business Lounge. Disappears into a bathroom for 20 minutes. A janitor gets suspicious. To make a long story short, the counterterrorism police are summoned, since it's an airport, an odd airport phenomenon. Counterterrorism comes. They give him a strip search, and they find, strapped to his body, hospital gauze containing wool socks containing 14 peregrine falcon eggs, snatched, as they find out, quickly from cliffs in Wales. The animals, the birds breed usually on cliffs, roost on ledges high up off the ground, require a lot of dexterity to get to.
They probably thought at first it was explosives or poison or something.
I don't know
what
they initially thought, but they found when they asked Lendrum why he was carrying these eggs on his body, first
this
he said
is Jeffrey Lendrum.
Jeffrey Lendrum, sorry, yes, our protagonist, Jeff Lendrum. He said they were duck eggs. They asked him, why are you carrying 14 raw duck eggs on your body? And he responded that his chiropractor had recommended that he wear raw eggs strapped to his body
to strengthen
his lower back muscles.
How does he get the eggs off the cliffs?
He does it a number of ways. Well, he grew up in the bush of southern Rhodesia, what was then southern Rhodesia, became Zimbabwe, where he learned at an early age to climb trees and to rappel down cliffs. So that generally the way he did it was by fastening a rope and climbing down a cliffside. But occasionally when he was super ambitious on an escapade in the Arctic, he and a Rhodesian army, ex-Rhodesian army chum, went up in a helicopter. This guy was an expert pilot. And Lendrum dangled from a rope 700 feet over the Arctic to snatch some eggs, gerfalcon eggs, off of the most sought-after birds in the Arab world, off an eyrie. These are big white raptors that are, you know, magnificent species.
I'm not thinking of ways to commit crime, but I suppose a drone would really help him out a lot here, too.
I don't know. A drone,
With some extended arm. It's new technology.
Don't give the guy any ideas.
Shame on me for even thinking of that. So then he gets these eggs, and suppose then he does find a buyer, and the thing hatches, and then they got a falcon. What am I going to do with the falcon?
Well, you're going to do one of two things with it. For like 3,000 years, people have been hunting with falcons, training them to go after prey. In the case of the Middle East, in that region, they're called Hubara busters, or sort of turkey-like birds, mostly terrestrial birds that the falcons love to kill. So that pretty much for 3,000 years of that embedded in Arab tradition. In the last 20 years, you've had a new phenomenon known as falcon racing, which is mostly wealthy sheikhs cultivating their birds, training their birds to race horizontally over a sort of a big sand track in the desert. And then probably, we don't know for sure, placing massive bets on which falcon is going to win.
So this cold crime exists because you got to have a buyer.
You got to have a buyer.
And it's these wealthy sheikhs in Arab world countries that have nothing but money. And this is what they want to spend it
this
on.
This is what they...
They don't have enough cars or islands or skyscrapers. Wow. Okay, so then...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's 100% Arab world. There are also a lot of kind of you know, raptor fanatics and bird collectors all over the world.
What's the value
in
of one
Europe.
Of these birds?
Look, there's a couple of documented cases of wealthy sheikhs in Qatar and Dubai paying about $275,000 to $300,000 US for a white, pure white gerfalcon, the largest bird, the largest raptor in the so largest falcon, excuse me.
How fast do those birds go?
Well, it depends. If they're dropping vertically as they like to do to pursue their prey, they've been clocked at 160, 170 miles an hour.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. Fastest animal in the world. If they are going horizontally in these newfangled falcon races, then we're talking 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, too. Okay. Josh Hammer's here. His book is The Falcon Thief. You get it. I have a question about how this person got caught and where the story goes next. Josh Hammer's in our studio. His latest book is The Falcon Thief. His book prior to this... You know, I think that sometimes the art of a book title is something itself that needs to be appreciated. The book before this was The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu and Their Race to Save the World's Most Precious Manuscripts. Do I read that correctly?
You do read that correctly.
Is that about a bunch of badass librarians from Timbuktu who tried to save the world's most precious manuscripts?
Not at all. Yeah. Yes, it is.
I have questions about that, but I don't have time.
Okay.
What's the subtitle for The Falcon Thief?
A True Tale of Adventure, Treachery, and the Hunt for the Perfect Bird.
Is it about a tale of adventure? Anyway, I get
it
the
is.
Idea.
It is. All three.
But treachery. I mean, I guess the treachery is, as you've been telling us now, about this guy, Jeffrey Lendrum, who is caught at an airport with falcon eggs attached to his body. They realize they have some sort of weird thief here. It's treachery capturing the eggs. He then tries to sell them to an international community of buyers. And they want the eggs to hatch.
Correct.
And then really awesome falcons to come out.
Yeah.
Maybe the purebred wild falcons that you don't get from the pansy falcon stores. I mean, that's the idea,
exactly.
Right?
That is totally the idea. Natural selection has created these birds in their wild environment.
Why is this against the law? If I want to go get some eggs and sell them to you, what's going on there?
Because of the birds, and you know, there's a treaty, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species that 183 countries have signed. And scientists have studied this pretty carefully and determined which birds are which animals, birds, reptiles are endangered. And peregrine falcons and most of the other raptors are considered to be all on the critical list. There's been some debate about it. I mean, there's back in the 50s and 60s, there was a DDT poisoning that pretty much wiped out bird populations. That's what Rachel Carson's The Silent Spring was all about, the killing of the birds. So that really raised a great consciousness. A sense of consciousness about the threatened wildlife.
These are peregrine falcons.
Yeah.
Are they on the endangered species list?
They are on the. I think the U.S. government, if I'm not mistaken, withdrew them from the critically endangered species list. But for the rest of most of the world, and they're certainly under the CITES treaty, they're considered critically endangered. Yeah, the most endangered species, among the most endangered.
You said in a steep vertical dive, they'll hit 160 or 170 miles an hour. Horizontally around a track, they can be trained to race and go at speeds of 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And then what happened to him when he was caught at the airport with the eggs taped to his body?
He had the misfortune of running into a guy named Andy McWilliam, who's the country's foremost bird detective, a retired policeman who became an advisor to a new outfit called the National Wildlife Crime Unit, and knew about birds and basically saw through Lendrum's lies. Lendrum was a pathological liar, as I think you could deduce from his story about the duck eggs and the chiropractor. So he was a practiced liar, but McWilliam saw through it and began and made... was able to keep him in jail without bail while he investigated his past and basically came out with this incredible tale that showed that he was obviously a professional falcon thief and smuggler who had been doing this for decades all over the world in the weird world's strangest places, and built a really solid case against him and managed to get him and also raised a lot of media attention and got him sentenced to prison. This is back in 2010, first jail sentence he'd ever faced. Huge media attention in the UK, not so much elsewhere. But then, you know, Google searching, his name is all over. It became much harder for him after that point, I would say, for him to pull off these kind of escapades in total anonymity. And in fact, it ultimately did do him in.
Well, but he was convicted, was he not? Did he go to jail?
He did go to jail. He spent a year in jail.
That's all.
Yeah. Then he got like a 3-year sentence, but in the UK, they let them out, you know, pretty early for the rest, served half your sentence at most, and then you're on parole in a nonviolent crime like that. So he was out and tried to go straight. And, you know, there was a lot of people rooting for him, family helping him.
Really?
And it just didn't work out.
Why? Because is he a sympathetic character? I mean, is he the victim of his own bizarre addiction? I met him.
I met him finally after tracing him down for, you know, more than a year. And I've talked to a lot of people along the way who knew him well. And he is kind of a likable rogue, you know. That's the description. I can't say I was really around him long enough to I basically saw a guy who was a pathological liar trying to convince a reporter that he was a good guy and a conservationist and had been misunderstood by the world, and all these raptor thefts were actually attempts to save these poor birds from the environmental death in the wild. So he's a complicated guy, obviously, driven by greed, driven by money, driven by addiction, driven by genuine love of the animals. A lot of people were rooting for him to get out of this.
Yeah, I'll bet he does love the animals, right?
I think he does love the animals, yeah, in a twisted sort of way. Yeah, from the time he was a kid.
He loves the thrill of chasing down the animals.
It's not the
money, you would say.
I don't think it was the money, because there's no evidence, even though he's been dubbed the Pablo Escobar of the bird egg world, whatever. You know, the guy did not have a villa or an army of lieutenants working for him in the
fancy cars
and the like.
Just now, I did not know there was a Pablo Escobar of bird eggs. Anyway, so imagine that. What's the strangest story? Is there a scene or an anecdote in your telling of the falcon thief that blew your mind even as you were writing it?
I'll tell you, his escapade up in the Arctic, where he went after these ger falcons with $100,000 given to him allegedly by his contacts in the Arab world, and the money and the operation to shinny down from a rope and risk his life with this old buddy from the Rhodesian War was pretty crazy stuff. But I found another story in that book, which is this crazy group of middle-aged Brits who pursue eggs obsessively in every corner, risking their lives simply for their own collections, not to sell, but to keep and look at and ogle, blowing out the embryo and then keeping them.
Never even hatching them.
Never hatching them. No, there's this strange. This is how McWilliam, the cop, got into this strange bird crime world to begin with, by pursuing these egg collecting obsesses. I personally found these guys to be as weird and as interesting as Jeffrey Lindrum, the thief who did it at least partly for profit.
Well, in The Feather Thief, the book that you reviewed for the New York Times, what really drives the crime is the obsession by people who want bird feathers so that when they tie their fly fishing lures, they have the perfect display of colors. And it's an international crime ring of people who trade, collect, and sometimes steal for that purpose.
I think there is a weird intersection of wildlife and crime and obsession. A lot of these guys, a lot of the people that Andy McWilliam, the cop, arrested, were obsessives in various ways. So it seems to be something about the nature of wildlife. You love them to death, you know?
John, there are tens of thousands of raptors killed by wind turbines, said 262. 313 texted in and said, crazy factoid, John, but I believe the peregrine falcon is the official bird of the city of Chicago. I'm 60% sure of that. John, save the boundary waters. There's lots of falcons up there, northern Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
John, wasn't this falcon or eagle story just on 60 Minutes? Did you see that?
I think, I don't know. I think there might have been, not my story, not my story. I know that some of the people involved in this falconry thing who have dubious reputations had appeared in very positively in the National Geographic and possibly in 60 Minutes as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessarily the kind of story that I was trying to write.
Your story, The Falcon Thief, has been optioned, right?
It has been. Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting movie to make.
If they make the movie, you know, development hell. But yeah, it could be. Could be.
A little bit
of a Catch Me If You Can in the ornithological world, perhaps.
I think, yeah, you've got interesting enough people. And the birds, I could see some video about that. I mean, I think that's...
You'd have to tinker with a narrative arc a bit to make it more movie-like. But, you know, you can do that in the movies. You can do whatever you want.
Well, right? They made a movie out of your last book, right?
They did make a documentary, The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu. That is a completed documentary. I believe a very kind of propulsive documentary with Malian music and sort of reenactments, and actually shot on location in Timbuktu by a very noted young director. And I'm just waiting. I haven't seen it. I'm waiting for it to come out. I don't know when, but it's done. From what I understand, it's in the can.
What's the elevator speech for the badass librarians of Timbuktu and their race to save the world's most precious manuscripts?
What is the elevator speech? How so?
Give me 30 seconds on what that's about.
It's about a group of good terminology. It's about a small group of librarians, book lovers, archivists in Timbuktu who were safeguarding some of the great Arabic language manuscripts in the world, secular, religious, all kinds. Al-Qaeda invaded northern Mali in 2012, took it over, imposed Sharia law, threatened these manuscripts, and this was a small group of librarians who undertook a daring smuggling operation to get them out of the control of Al-Qaeda and into safe hands.
In both cases, that, or for that matter, The Falcon Thief, where do you find that story?
Yeah, these are long, each one came at a different way. I mean, I've always had an interest in Timbuktu and the music and the culture, and I kind of made repeated trips there over the years. And then actually knew some of the protagonists who were involved. When Al-Qaeda came in, I wondered what had happened to them. And then my search for what had happened to them led to that subject, as far that book. As far as The Falcon Thief goes, that was just a fluke, a lucky trip to England, discovering a very short article as I was sort of looking around for another book subject, a short article in the Times of London that said that Lendrum had fled Brazil, had gone on the lam, and he was a fugitive, and gave a few details about Dubai sheikhs and stealing eggs by helicopters from mountainside. It was enough to make me want to like chase this one down.
Aren't you glad somebody didn't find it first?
I am amazed that somebody didn't find it first.
I was thinking the same thing.
Brits should have found it first. It was a big story in the UK, but it passed the rest of the world over completely.
That book is called The Falcon Thief. Josh Hammer wrote that, as well as The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu, which is just fun to say. It's nice to meet you. You're speaking at the University Club at noon today,
so you
grab a cab. We'll get into the newsroom, but thanks for visiting with us
today.
Great
to be here. Thanks for letting me talk about this stuff.
I know you don't get to Chicago much. I'm sorry we don't have a better day for you, but it's a lovely
city. That's what you expect in February in Chicago. No surprises.
We're delivering.